Hi there.
Have you had a chance to sign in?
I have.
Thank you. But would you please state your name?
My name is Judy Hamilton, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this. I would second a lot of what's been said already. I think it's terribly complicated, confusing, overreaching, and I'd like to see it scrapped and started from the beginning as well. But rather than reiterate all of that, I'd like to speak to a couple things that haven't been mentioned, or at least not much. In particular, I don't believe the borough should be limiting any residents' ability to grow their own food, whether that's poultry or hoop houses or anything, tires, whatever. It's a basic right. We should all be free to do that as we see fit. The proposed definition of chickens and ducks as domesticated animals is ludicrous and it's confusing. Why you would include chickens and ducks with dogs, cats, and rodents, I have no idea. I can't imagine a basis for this determination, but I suppose there are some people in this community who consider their chickens and ducks to be their pets. For me, a pet is an animal I don't intend to eat. I think a lot of people would agree with that definition, and I think that that should absolutely come out of this document. My pets don't feed me. So to limit residents to some number of poultry, and this number is also confusing, I've seen 5, 10, 12. 12 seems to be the upper limit. You're limiting residents' abilities to produce their own food. Arguably, 12 chickens can provide some food for a household, but who on the commission or in the borough can determine my needs? Who's going to choose how much I need to feed my family? I have a very small family, but we require several times more than that number on an annual basis to provide adequate eggs and meat for our needs. So to pull an arbitrary number like 12 is it's unnecessary as well, to my mind. Now, I imagine that the reason for that is to try to minimize some negative impact on a neighbor. I've never had an interaction with a neighbor that didn't end in a mutually beneficial and understanding relationship. And I think that that happens a lot. Now, maybe there are going to be cases where that doesn't happen, and then perhaps the borough needs to be involved in some kind of conflict resolution, but please don't limit these very basic rights. Now, the wholesale prohibition of roosters also makes no sense whatsoever. Roosters are an essential part of the picture for some of us who take self-sufficiency very seriously. They are an essential part of how I produce our food. I would way rather hatch my own chicks on my own property from my own birds than to subject them to the stress of the Postal Service. I think that should be my right as well. Now, I assume that the concern here again is some negative impact on a neighbor. But the borough already has a noise ordinance, so enforce it. There, if a responsible resident of this community can keep their rooster quiet and not impacting their neighbors inside of those quiet hours, then there is no problem. I would bet that far more people in this community are negatively impacted by their neighbor's dog than by any number of roosters. And thankfully, nobody is proposing that we eliminate them from our community. So I'm just really against these restrictions where I really don't see them as being necessary. Finally, as a resident of Woodland Drive, I propose the proposed change from rural residential to rural residential one. I fully respect the rights of my neighbors to develop their property as they see fit. I think that's essential. But I also respect those neighbors who have fought hard to win that designation in the first place and who bought their property because of the way that the regulations were written at that time that would preserve the character of that neighborhood. I pinch myself every day to get to live there. I love Kodiak, and I appreciate the work you folks are doing. But please do this differently. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, we have a caller. Okay.
Please stand by at the podium.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes. You are.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Webster. I live in Bell's Flat area of the borough. Actually, I wanted to attend the meeting tonight, but I was unable to get out because there was a flood at the end of the drive. This prohibited me and possibly other people from actually attending this evening, but by the sounds of it, I might not have been able to get in through the door. So maybe it's best that I'm calling. I've been listening since the beginning of the evening, and what I've heard most of tonight and what I've read in the code is that it sounds like this code actually wasn't written by people who understand and know what it's like to be a resident of Kodiak. In fact, I heard a rumor that the revision was outsourced outside of Alaska, actually. And I would argue that the people outside can't truly understand what it's like to be a member of the community here. I live in Kodiak for a reason. I chose to live here because I value the freedoms that it affords. I live in Bell's Flat because I appreciate those freedoms, and I appreciate the honest, compassionate, and reasonable people who live in Kodiak. This code is written for a place much larger than that, and if I wanted to live in Seattle, I would be moving. I've been proud to be part of this community for the last 10 years, and I'd like to continue to do so without limitations on my ability to live the way that I do. Saying that, we've heard tonight from lots of people, Dr. Bob, Jim Rippey, others who have said that they worked in the past to be part of making this code in the past, annual revisions, updates. They are all members of this community. We, as evidence tonight, we have more than enough brain power and commitment that the people who live and work and play in Kodiak can actually come together and write a better code than is the one standing in front of us. You know, every person who spoke tonight has a different issue with this code. Animals, noise, small businesses, contractors, bed and breakfast, you name it. There doesn't seem to be one aspect of this code that's worth keeping. Not to mention the least of which is constitutional issues, which is really front and foremost. I'm going to make it short and sweet. My suggestion is this. One, schedule another meeting at a place to which everyone can attend, including myself, without having to stand in the hall. And two, let's relook at the old code line by line if necessary. Forget about the money that's spent. It's water under the bridge. And look at it with a Kodiak perspective. Given this unique community we have here, let's do this the Kodiak way as it's always been done, which is together. That's all I have to say. I really appreciate the time and effort you all are putting into this, but I really think it could be done as a community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've already signed in. My name is Terry Storch. I'm retired salmon set net permit holder because of the generosity of Norman Holm, my father-in-law to be at the time. I got a salmon set net permit and was a set netter from 1974 to about 1992 when multiple disabilities took away that privilege. And I have been in the archipelago since 74 mostly, and I was raised in a logging family, so I'm kind of the vintage hillbilly woman to the max, maybe, like a lot of Kodiak people, I believe. Anyway, with some of my money from the 89 Exxon lawsuit settlement from commercial fishing. I purchased a semi-renovated mobile home. Excuse me. And I was on Social Security by this time. So I successfully applied for weatherization assistance from the Community Development Corporation, for which I am very grateful. And by the way, I'm really grateful for the borough, for the people of Kodiak. It just, to me, it feels like I got transplanted into paradise sometimes. And I hope the borough doesn't feel like they have to start ordering Maalox by 55-gallon drums now. Anyway, back to my little story, my experience. After the Community Development Corporation work was done on my mobile home, the amount they paid was $20,000 approximately. I was informed that my other application to Community Development Corporation for owner-occupied rehabilitation was rejected, and it seemed very ironic to me that CDC cited my home's condition that they felt wasn't up to snuff. Was there reason for this refusal? I just thought, if this is an example of how CDC interprets the laws, there really is a serious flaw. And I don't pretend to have all the answers. And I'm not sure if any of us really do, but I'm just thankful. I feel the borough is trying to do the best it can. And I guess sometimes we just have to get help from people in Finland or some other place, you know, sister city of Kodiak, see how things are working up there. I know, speaking of international things, I do have a daughter that has gone to Nepal and South Africa, Democratic Republic of the Congo, and she's brought back some real horror stories about what the government sometimes does there and allows in some of those countries. And God bless them. I hope they do better. But we really have a lot to be thankful for here in Kodiak. So thank you.
Thank you. Have you signed in?
I think my mom signed in for me. Is this all that's here? I don't know, I can sign it again. Do you want me to sign it again?
Just to be safe, yeah.
Okay, I'll sign it.
Thank you.
All right. My name's Sylvia Cavanaugh. I was born and raised in Kodiak and recently purchased my first piece of property. It's a business lot with an existing building. It's a horse boarding facility with a conditional use permit. I tried reading through the code revision, but couldn't figure out how it affected me or my business. So I went to the borough office to ask how I'd be affected and where I fit into the big picture. I was very unsatisfied when there wasn't any clear response to my pretty direct questions. After going to the only available resource, the borough, I still don't understand how the new code affects me and what it will mean to my future plans. This new code does not make it more clear and creates more gray area that will be open to interpretation. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Ron Painter, and I have signed in.
Thank you.
I'm here to talk about a specific issue, but it seems rather trivial when the larger theme today has been about freedom, and specifically freedom of our property, our personally owned property. I think that's probably, if we take anything out of that tonight, that's the main theme going on here. And that, along with the even-handed enforcement of whatever code we end up with, that it's not subjective, but that it's objective and defined clearly and precisely to where all of us can read it and understand it, and that the code itself was put together in each section where everything that applies to that section is clearly stated in that section, where I don't have to go back to another section, to another book, to another chapter that I met. I probably don't even know to go there to find out the full understanding of that code. Whether to throw this one away and start over, I don't know. I had trouble with the old ones too 20 years ago. There was an issue with just a little 10 by 12 shed. Three people had sheds just like what I wanted to build right up against the property line on the back corner. So I went down because I'm going to do it right because I'm going to get caught. I always have since I was 6 years old. And I said, hey, I'm going to build one right here, right beside all my other guys, my buddies here. They all said it's okay. Oh, you can't, Mr. Payne. You got to set yours back 5 feet on each side. I said, it's going to look crazy. They've got all theirs right up against the fence. It's going to make it look horrible. Sorry. So I did. I built it out. But that was my first dealings with the borough. When I first came here 47 years ago, I lived in Cy's horse barn. And thank God it wasn't a code then. I couldn't live in a horse barn because I told Cy the other side of the barn where the horse lived was a lot better than what I had to live in. You know? But, you know, and again, like I said, I hate to get trivialized on a personal thing, but I'd like to address, I am in favor of the change of code on Woodland Drive from RR to RR1. And the first thing, and Alan, you kind of brought up when your first opening statement today was, you know, talk about the code, not about people, things like that. Well, our current code there is RR. We don't even meet the definition of what we are there. RR says you can be, RR says you have to have, if you have 20,000 square feet and have water and sewer, you can divide down to 20,000 square feet. If you have an acre lot or a 2 acre lot or whatever it is, if you have water and sewer, the code says you can divide down to 20,000 square feet. Well, so we don't even meet that there. Right now it says that I've got an acre or 2 acres, whatever I have, I can't divide down to what the code, what RR says it is by the borough code itself. And so they're trying to make this very special limited code for this little tiny section. You know, and RR1, which is what I propose, was what the original, and when you read these other statements, a couple of documents, and I'd like to go through them a little bit if I have time, the original designation there was RR1. And the people that originally bought there, even though they bought 1 acre lots, they understood and knew that it was RR1. And their discrepancies in some of the their testimony, I'd like to go through because I find it disheartening that if I have to deceive you to make you believe or side with me, that's just not right. One statement here says, one or maybe two or three property owners out of the 60 parcels there will benefit. But then a little further down, they say it's going to put massive amounts of traffic on the road. So if only one or two or three people are going to benefit, how's it going to put massive amounts of people on the road? I mean, give me one or the other, not both. It says it will significantly change the character of the neighborhood. Again, if it's only going to affect two or three people, how is that going to significantly change the character of the neighborhood? I don't understand some of their logic or reasonings that they put here for not changing it back to what it originally was. You know, and if you read it carefully, they earlier tonight, the lady said, well, could have 100 additional new lots. That was her words, 100 additional new lots. Well, if there's only 60 lots there, and they're basically 1 acre lots, you can only have at most 60 more. So why would she say 100? I mean, you know, anyway, thank you. And I hope you will consider changing it back to what it originally was, RR1.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, two calls.
Stand by at the podium. We have a call or two on the line.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name.
Yes, my name is Kate Ballinger. I'm a 47 47-year resident of Kodiak, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank the individuals who got together and sent out the information to notify all of us about what was going on. I must admit that there's a lot of things that go on that I just don't pay enough attention to, and I would be there tonight, but obviously I'm not. But I just wanted to commend them, and it just seems to me like the consensus of opinion is that we have to abolish this before it even gets started. So I too would like to get on the record as stating that I am against all of the revisions, although I must certainly admit that I have not read it. Thank you very much.
And I think we may have another one on the phone.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Sarah Dunn, and I have lived in Kodiak for 26 years, which is no small feat, and seeming to become more and more challenging to live here. My husband and I have bought and sold and own multiple properties. And so as a property owner, you know, everyone has input to this, and clearly this needs to go away. I'm glad that my husband keeps up on the borough goings-on better than I do. I just found out about this last week and rushed right over to the borough building because our printer is out, and in a modern day, that's a tragedy, but we're old-fashioned and wanted a, you know, in-hand copy so that we could easily read and not be strapped to our computer. The first office I went to, I won't name names, but it was not a great experience. She wanted to charge me for this document and order out for it, and either, you know, didn't want to go through it or just didn't want to help me at that time. Refusing to quit, I went to another office, and thankfully was helped quite eagerly, and I appreciated their time, and I was handed the whole proposed code packet, and when asked, you know, do I need to pay for this, I was given the best answer that anyone in that building has ever given. He said that I was a property owner, I pay taxes, so I already paid for that packet. I am greatly encouraged by the attendance tonight, and I foresee this happening at all the rest of the meetings until this code is stricken down. I believe it was outsourced, and outsourcing is one of the many things that is killing our country, and obviously it would harm our town if this was allowed. The town might not be on a decline as far as population density, but it is definitely stopped. Back when the city sales tax was increased against most people's will, some people did have to leave. They moved, and they were very clear about that when it was being talked about and voted on. Things are too expensive here, and this is an overbearing outreach for more money and more power, and it's not necessary. The borough doesn't need this. The citizens do not need this. And it is going to do way more harm than any good it could possibly be done. The wording is too ambiguous. It's just a power grab. It's a money grab and a power grab, and it should not be allowed. I just wanted to put my two cents in there. I'm very glad that the public has shown up. I thank you, Kodiak, for paying attention this time. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Mel Stevens. You're not going to hear anything new from me. I urge you to table this. Make a motion to table it indefinitely. Get get rid of it in that manner. Do not table it to a future time or whatever. You want to hold another couple of meetings before you do that, that's fine. But this needs to go. Please do not try to correct something in this to make it a little better. This can't be made satisfactory. It is markedly worse than our current code, and it is positively harmful to the Kodiak community. Now, maybe it'll take a little intestinal fortitude to throw it out after we've spent the money we spent on it, but you didn't start that process, so you do something good and let's end this. I've practiced law here in Kodiak for over 35 years, and I think I'm pretty well familiar with the existing code insofar as zoning and land use goes. And I can tell you, right, that while those titles are not perfect, I note that the I'm getting lots of time in, but I'm not going to use it. Those titles are not perfect, but I do tell you this: they have no defects or shortcomings which cannot be addressed by the usual process of from time to time bringing forth limited, carefully focused amendments which address concrete problems and difficulties which have actually arisen, or needs which people actually feel, right? The problem with what you are doing, right, there are lots of problems, but one of the very biggest is we've got over 200 pages of stuff in front of us, and therefore there are, who knows, 500 different issues. What's the difference between 50 and 500? Actually, nothing, right? There's no focus to your meetings when you try to do something like that. If you use your existing code and based upon an actual showing of need, you talk about, you know, amending half a dozen provisions in it, then that will be focused. Then if you want to talk about Woodland Drive and how that should be zoned, fine. You know, you'll have some people come forward and say, this is why I feel this way, and other people will say the opposite, quite possibly. But the process will be much, much better. And again, I say, without any changes, our present code is far superior to this, right? You don't, in a community like Kodiak, go and revise your code because you think it's old, right? Codes are not like sandpaper and snow tires. They don't wear out just with a period of time. If you've had explosive growth in population and industry, then maybe you consider it. That's Mat-Su. Maybe in Mat-Su you consider something like this. Between 1990 and 2010, right, Mat-Su grew by over 51,000 people, 130% increase in population. Kodiak lost 169 people during the same period of time. We shouldn't ever have started a code revision process like this. It couldn't have been justified. You caught up on that 5 minutes very quickly. Look, this is a big deal, right? I heard some comments earlier about, oh, no, this has been the same thing we've been done since 1967. This is a big deal, right? And look, listen to these people, right? Look, all of the people who have come out. I've been here 35 years. I've never seen anything like it. Listen to them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
No, we have a phone call.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name.
Is that mine?
Yes.
I am Art Zimmer.
Go ahead.
I attended the meeting tonight. I stood in the hallway among about 200 others, and I got a fair feeling of the sentiment, and I think hearing many more at home over the radio, especially Mel Stevens, who now just spoke. I heartily agree. I think some of the personal issues or individual issues that were raised certainly grow out of the concern in this code. But behind the whole thing is a UN agenda which was mentioned, the Agenda 21. I would like to give this information on my opportunity of speaking. Kodiak is a member of the ICLEAEI, which is the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. It is a United Nations-sponsored group which designs and writes policy for your area on the land use, energy goals and measurement, and water usage. ICLEAEI is a paid consultant and or receives dues from your taxes. ICLEAEI was formed after the United Nations and 178 other nations met at the United Nations Rio Earth Summit in 1992 and agreed to use certain principles as their guidelines. Those guidelines include major reductions in energy and water usage and huge increases in the number of living units in city centers. This is called UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. In 1993, President Clinton formed the President's Council on Sustainable Development and gave a multi-million dollar grant to the American Planning Association to write Growing Smart, a legislative guidebook to bring UN Agenda 21 to the United States. Smart growth was the result. Multi-story condos and apartments over small retail with little parking crammed in your town center. The reason for this style of construction is that, as UN Secretary General Maurice Strong said, quote, the affluence of Americans is a threat to the planet, end quote. Single-family homes are a threat. Across the nation, in large cities and small towns like this one, identical programs are being rolled out. Land use restrictions, ordinances reducing energy usage, smart meters, school programs, and candidate trainings are designed and implemented without your vote. You may be invited to city visioning meetings, but the outcome is decided before you enter the room. Using UCLEI greenhouse gas emissions goals, your local government is in the process of controlling where and how you live, what you eat, what your children learn, and what laws you will live under. With the cover of, quote, environmental concern, end quote, your personal rights are being restricted. Soon you will lose the right to travel freely without being asked for your ID, lose the right to water your garden, lose the right to refuse a smart meter, lose the right to live in a rural area, lose the right to drive a private vehicle under the guise of, quote, this is the underlying driving principle of this whole thing, this code, sustainable development. Your property and civil rights are being systematically eliminated. Thank you for letting me share that. I think that's the background reason for all of this code that's being pushed upon us. We do not need it. As someone indicated earlier, Fairbanks in 2013 voted unanimously to reject it. I think Kodiak ought to do it too. It was adopted here a while back. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I got time right here. And I have signed in. My name is Andy Cron, and I'm a property owner here in Kodiak. I'm out in the flats, so I may have all night because I hear we're flooded out. So I'm really excited that a lot of the things that I wrote down to say here have already been said by so many people here. But darn it, I've been here for a couple hours, and I'm going to say it because I wrote it down. But I'm here today to speak out against the new code revision in its entirety. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I appreciate all the hard work that our public servants and our borough assembly, all that you do on behalf of this island. I don't doubt that this started out as a good idea. I really don't. I was present a couple years ago at one of the public meetings, at several of the public meetings that went over the code line by line by line. And I was barely okay with it then. You know, I love my chickens. I have lots of chickens. You know, it was not okay back then, and I was assured by some of the people that are not here right now that, oh, we're going to make it all okay. You know, we're not going to change the rural designation. You know, we're not going to hamper anyone's subsistence rights. And don't you worry, Andy Cron, you can keep your chickens. It's going to be fine. But it seems that this version of the code has snowballed out of control and with too much input from outside forces. And those people don't even have a stake in this community. I do not believe that it can be salvaged. I think that we need to go back to the drawing board and present the new regulations in more manageable chunks. And I think we need to debate each piece of the code individually until the majority of the town agrees. We have to live under these laws. We should have the right to agree to them. Now, I understand that the code is outdated, but in my world, when something is outdated, say the dishwasher in my house is outdated, right? The responsible thing to do is simply replace or even upgrade said dishwasher. Unless you're a millionaire, you don't go out and buy a brand new house just because you need a new dishwasher. And you definitely don't go out and buy a new dishwasher, two dirt bikes, and a pony. It seems to me that's what we're doing here. All we really need is a dishwasher. All we really need is some minor adjustments to the existing code. This is too much regulation, and it's happening all at once. We need to scrap it all, keep the old code, and go back to the drawing board. I know it'll take a long time to pass the code in smaller chunks, and God help us, even longer for all of us to agree. But I, for one, will wait as long as I have to ensure that my property rights and those of my neighbors are protected. And as far as the money's concerned, it's my money in there too. I've been paying taxes in Kodiak for 12 years now, and I don't believe in throwing good money after bad. Like I said, I really do think this started out as a good idea, but I don't want any more of my money spent on this project, please. I'm just saying no, like no, please no, don't pass it, make it go away. In case anybody didn't get my point, please, no. That's all.
Thank you. I would like to call just a brief timeout because I've been sitting up here for 3 hours and quite frankly, I need to use a restroom, so we'll take a 5-minute recess. Okay, we're now resuming the special meeting of the Kodiak Island Borough Planning and Zoning Commission on January 12th. And I'm just going to, people that are listening in, if they didn't jot it down, the phone number is 486-3231. And if anyone is calling from the villages, it would be 855-499-2202. Mr. Holm, why don't you state your name
and proceed. You. My name is Oliver Holm, and I've been a resident of Kodiak Island Borough for a little over 50 years. I was also a member of the project advisory group, so I hope I don't have to leave town. But we spent a couple of years on this, and if I hadn't, had spoke at a meeting, and I was a commercial fisherman, and had some opinions about how it might affect us. And I ended up getting selected for the group, and we put in quite a bit of time on this. I believe if the local residents hadn't been involved, it would have been a lot more restrictive, especially considering where the consultants came from and back in the Midwest. But some things just keep, you know, I haven't exhaustively reread the latest version, and it's got some differences from the one that came out of the Project Advisory Committee. Some things keep coming back, and this restrictions on poultry by pure chance, two of us on the Project Advisory Committee turned out had poultry, kept poultry in our yards, and the staff or wherever it was coming from, restrictions on roosters and poultry, and then it would get out to the public, and we had a lot of concerned people came to the meetings, and then it would go away. But I see it's most of it's back again, and there's no roosters and lot size. I don't know if it matters anymore for numbers, but other things in Title 17 I noticed in just looking at some of the parts that I had been involved in before that were more important to me, like the home-based business, home occupation for commercial fishermen. I see the staff recommendation is to change that to move it into a home-based business, which has a bunch of different restrictions than the home occupation. And for one thing, if there wasn't any change, suddenly any commercial fisherman that had a lot less than 20,000 square feet would appear to me would no longer comply, because you'd have to comply under the home-based business rules, which require 20,000 square foot lot or bigger. We talked about fencing the smaller lots for home occupation and commercial fishing for screening our gear and stuff, and that was somewhat reasonable. If a lot was under 20,000 square feet, I had argued that if there was existing screening from trees and natural vegetation, it didn't make sense to have to cut it down to put in a fence. But that's not in there anymore. You just got to put in a fence, and that could be a major expense. I'm also concerned, of course, by other small businesses in the community that are run out of their people's houses and their lots all over town. And we rely on a lot of these people. There's a lawyer who works out of her home a few houses away from us. That's never a problem for us. There's a guy, a retired Coast Guardsman, that works on outboards down the street a ways, and that's not a problem. And it just seems like a lot of us don't have government jobs or have to make do with what we can scrounge up. We have to have stuff. And you know, I reading the code, rapidly realized, even without a 10-foot tape measure, that I was living in a junkyard and was going to get fined. There's just a lot of stuff like this. If you change the home occupation status of commercial fishing, the lot we bought above our lot for a future use of my son, for him, he's a commercial fisherman. It's only 10,000 square feet. Well, if you change the rules, like the staff wanted to make it a home-based business, you'd have to have a 20,000 square foot lot, so he couldn't store any fishing gear there ever. And I'm sure there's some people with home-based businesses that have been here for years that I deal with, that do services for me, that have lots that are less than 20,000 square feet, and I sure as hell don't want to see them go out of business. We really rely on them, but there's so much detail and restrictions in the code, and I just haven't had the time to go through all the stuff and see where it's ended up in this process, but I can see why I'm not sure, maybe strategically it was a mistake to pass the fines first, because people realize right away that this is going to turn the community upside down. So thank you.
Did you get a chance to sign in, by the way?
I already did.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've already signed in, too. My name is Bill Fita. Quite a few people know who I am. I've been here 40 years, worked in all kinds of factions of life around town here. I finally decided to build my own house. One that I didn't buy, one I didn't want my old junker that I had before. There's a few of you that are aware of what I built. Built it by myself. Under the Title 17, if I would have to put up 130% value of the project bond, there's no way I could have afforded to lay the first 2x4. Nor anybody else that wants to have a future and build their own home. That being said, I never got a chance to look at 16 or 18. Mr. Chair, you authoritatively said you're going to vote on 18 on the next session. I respectfully request that you do not make a vote on that, because this thing needs to go away, period. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Greg Eagle. I have 30-year resident of Kodiak. I don't have much to say. I looked over this revision a little bit, and I know every community needs rules and laws and codes to keep us safe and protect us, but it seemed really vague. And a law or a rule that's vague is kind of scary to me, kind of frightening, actually. I'd rather have it spelled out. I don't agree with this document. I think it's flawed, and I think it's divisive to the community. I think it should be tossed out and go back, maybe create a citizen advisory committee to go over the old one. And I think it was, I can't remember who spoke before, but just approach things as they come up and, you know, item by item, and not come up with a big picture that's just kind of frightening, actually. It's just too much. That's about all I got to say. Thanks. Okay,
thank you.
Greetings, Planning and Zoning Commission. Dennis Simmons, a grateful citizen of Kodiak Island. Something I have not heard tonight talked about, and I think most of the commission is aware, if they've gone through this at all, and probably some of the citizens, but indeed, this is not the enemy. These are volunteers. This is us sitting right there, whether we agree with them or not. That's us, very precious, like our service districts, volunteers of the community. A lot of what is in this proposal undermines this very commission right here. Their jobs and anybody else sitting in those seats' this job is in serious jeopardy. If anything, if the minutest things of this is passed, and I'm not trying to educate them, but I'm trying to educate anybody that's not aware of that. It's a resounding piece of work. I got a third of the way into it and then realized that I don't get to address any one of these things. There's a scripture that talks about that soured apple. Well, there's a whole bunch of soured apples in this barrel. I think one of the darkest hours that the management and community development is experiencing is this. I think we're going through some pretty troubled times here. And obviously, I don't have to point out to anybody how big a deal this really is. Something important, too, I'd like to say that I sincerely commend community development and our management under the borough roof. They have successfully succeeded in doing something that a handful of us have tried to do for years, and that's bring people into the trenches. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you. And we have three people on the phone, so we're going to try to take them in order.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Laurel Earl. I called in at 6:35, and I was on queue until your break and never got an opportunity to testify, so I hung up and called again. And, I'm so glad that I get the opportunity to testify. My name is Laurel Earl. I own 22 acres of waterfront property on Anton Larson Island. A few years ago, I submitted an application for a subdivision on the island. It took about 6 months to get it approved, mainly because of the way the property was surveyed 20 years prior. So I can say I have some experience looking at community development and planning division. When my app went before the board, the commissioners relied heavily on staff recommendations and on the public testimony, which made their decision difficult. And I realized then that the code needed revision. I couldn't read through the whole Title 17 revision. It was just over my head. I found it very confusing and difficult to read, and I simply don't understand what I'm reading. I have to search the whole code to address my application issue that I'm addressing for numerous places and titles. And after finding those numerous places, it's even more confusing to me. So, where does that leave me? I have to ask the director and or the staff and the girl, and we talk, and we go over the regs that I have already read over and over and don't understand, and they tell me their interpretation, which could be different from one staff member or the director's. The staff recommendation to the board then is based on their opinion, their interpretation of the code. The revised code gives the director and staff the power power and the control over my application. The code, not the staff and director, the code itself should clearly state the validity of my application request. The code should be written in a manner that's clear to me that my question is a yes or no, legal or illegal. It should not be based on the division's interpretation. I have not even mentioned code enforcement and the power and control that this code will impose on the property owner. It violates my civil rights, my freedom, and my property rights. So I implore you to dump this code revision and work with the old code, the city of Kodiak, the island villages, we haven't heard from at all, and remote property owners. We're just not ready for this revision. This code will impose a financial burden that will prevent me from improving, maintaining, or developing my property with the fees this code will force on me. So what effect will come of that on the borough? It's best to encourage your property owner to build, renew, and maintain their property, which in turn increases the property values and the tax base. I hope you'll consider my opinion very carefully, as this code will impose a burden to me, the taxpayer, that will affect the borough's future growth and development, bringing it to a standstill the way I see it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and thank you for your persistence in calling back.
Thank you.
Do you have another person on the phone?
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Jeremiah Gardner. I'm the owner over at 58 Degrees North, a local bike shop. Again, I don't necessarily have any new information to reveal to the board. I've taken a decent look at this code myself, and it seems as though there's one resounding notion going on with so many of the people that are staring at this thing. And a lot of the folks I've talked to are real intelligent people, people with master's degrees and PhDs, and the resounding, repeating theme here is that no one quite understands it, and it lacks a lot of transparency. And I think that that is the biggest problem with this code. It's written in such a way that it's almost meant to bewilder and confuse, and it gives so much of it left open for general interpretation to government employees that there is no black and white, and there is way too much of a gray area. And for that reason alone, that it can't be understood and that it's not transparent and all that is more than enough reason to vote no against this proposed code. And I'm with Mel Stevens when I say that we should bench this subject indefinitely until it can be figured out in such a way that it does work for everybody and it is cut and dry and it's not open for interpretation. And, yeah, that's all I have to say. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for yours. Thanks for the call.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Gerald Anderson. I've been a resident of the island here 54 years.
Sounds like you might have your radio on in the background, Mr. Anderson. We're getting feedback.
Okay. Yeah, I own property over in Spruce Island and been planning on and improving and making it better. I understand under a lot of these laws, I kind of won't be able to afford to do that. And a lot of people, I've listened to what people have spoken already, and it just scares the heck out of me. And I think you should listen to your voters and go with what they say. Rethink this over. And thank you for your time. I know you guys are working hard.
Thank you.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. You're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
You were just calling in. We had a technical glitch of sorts. If you could please call back. Just stand by for a moment.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Mara Michalski. I wanted to say hi to everyone in the room and in the hall, and thank you for standing up for our island. I was raised in Kodiak, and I'm living outside right now going to grad school, but I plan to move back home soon. And I want to return to the same spirit of the community that my family fights to keep alive. I'm proud of my stepfather, Brent Watkins, who builds our community beautiful and strong and has a lot of stake in the planning and zoning of Kodiak Island. I can't wait to move back home. I think about it every day, and I hope that the borough doesn't do anything while I'm away studying that will hurt my family or impede my future when I move back home. We all want Kodiak to grow and prosper, and this code sounds like trouble in that regard. For the borough, I appreciate your willingness to listen to our community in this way so late at night, and I hope you'll hold a few more meetings to make sure that everyone gets heard. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Baker, sign in, please, if you haven't already.
I already did. Okay, my name is Richard Baker. Most people call me Rick Baker. And I didn't prepare any kind of a speech because I didn't really think I'd even get up here. But my big concern, you know, I looked at the whole code, or I tried, it's huge. But I looked at what concerned me, and one of them is that I own a bed and breakfast. And it's a 5-bedroom bed and breakfast. It's out of Passaic Shack. I built it. It was a righted use. It's been there for 15 years. Right use. Now they want to change the zone to where, now it's a non-conforming use because they're going to change it to 2. You know, there's like 50 bed and breakfasts. I spent 2 days writing a letter and getting it to everybody, which I didn't even print it and bring it because I was late and there was a football game on. But anyway, I personally have been up here before on a battle with the borough, and it was with the old code. And Mel Stevens said it best. That code is not worn out. It's not sandpaper. It's not a fishing hook. It's not a saw blade. It just needed a little work. There was a lot of improv that went on I saw the dark side of the borough staff, but I still won. I beat them because the people, my friends, the community said, wait a minute, this is not right. And it's like, all you have to do is give them a few more definitions so they don't make it up as they go. And we dump this, you know, at first I didn't know this many people would be here to say dump it, but get rid of it. Just, you've burnt this much money before, no problem. We won't lose that much. We could fix this code. The one we have, it's not worn out. You can't just go around and change all the zonings to different stuff. I mean, non-conforming. I have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in my property, and 2 words could make me sing soprano. I mean, what is going on here? It's just not right. And I just say dump it. I mean, do it now. Get rid of it. Let's start over. I'll help. I volunteered. I volunteered in the beginning of this. But you know what? No one ever emailed me anymore. And I'm a fishing guide. I'm busy. I don't have time to follow this. But when we were in those original groups, everybody's saying, make it simple. Keep it simple. Just easy for, how many small businesses are on this island? Everybody except Safeway and Walmart. That's it. Well, Alaska Airlines flies in once in a while. But get emotional here. I just say we're all small businesses. Make it easy. Don't cut us off at the knees just because someone decides they want to make bed and breakfast too. Are you kidding me? Well, think about the ramifications, the financial burden, you can't add on, there's so many things. It's like, are you kidding me? Is this constitutional? It's just get rid of it. That's what I vote. I bet we could get everybody on the island, put it up to vote. I bet everybody on the island would say, dump it. Start over, go back to the old code, leave it alone. I better stop, thanks.
Thank you.
got me?
Well, just stand by, please.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. You're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Michelle St. Clair. I'm calling from home. I'm not feeling well, so I apologize for my voice. I agree wholeheartedly, Mr. Baker, well said. To have things changed after you've been living in a place for a period of time or having a business for a period of time is unfair. Just for a few people who would like to make those changes, I am a resident of Seabreeze Circle off of Woodland Drive, and there are code revision changes being made to change my neighborhood from 1 acre lot to 20,000 square feet, half acre. I did not move into this neighborhood for that. I moved in here for the low density residents. If there is an additional 50 plus homes, that could be an additional 100 people if there's two people at least per home, which there typically is, if not more, which could in essence be an additional 100 cars on my street. Do I want that in my neighborhood? No. That's why I live here. That's why I don't live anywhere else in the borough right here. I have spoken at numerous meetings previously, and I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak my mind and my feelings for myself and my family. So I just want to go on record, and I appreciate everyone being there tonight. I wish I could have been there because the meetings that I've been to before, there were lots of empty seats, and I am so thankful to be a part of this. And I wish I could just see everybody there. So thank you, everyone who's gotten up and spoken. And I agree, let's get rid of it and move on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, you got me there?
Yeah.
Yeah, my name is Sully Sutherland.
Did you sign in?
I already signed in.
Thank you.
I did. And... Well, I'm a taxpayer here, and I don't live here full-time, but I've been around for about 5 years. We are part owners of the old cannery out on the north side called Port Bailey. And, well, I just can't even imagine how I'm going to deal with this, with all the buildings and all the stuff that I have out there. But that all aside, I don't think there's really much I can add to all the great stuff that I've heard tonight. This was really... I mean, I'm really proud to be part of this community. The only one thing that I would say is there any way we could get a refund from the consultants that put this thing together? I mean, everyone says scrap it. Let's at least try to get a refund. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
(Clears throat)